Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We have gathered today for this occasion to worship the Lord. And this is a special day where we come aside and make sure it's like recommitting ourselves to Christ all over again in this communion service. Jesus told his disciples to do this. It was a transition from the Passover to washing of the feet and the Lord's ordinances. Today we have gathered today just to encourage you in the Lord and bring a word of encouragement by way of God's message to you, a message of love. Before we begin, Charmaine received, gave me information regarding a friend of hers. We want to lift up in prayer. Her 11-year-old son is challenged with some things, and I want to pray for their family, Chris and Christy. And we want to pray for them right now at this special time as we go into the Word of God. Father, once again, we are thankful that you have given us life. But we come on behalf of a family this morning, asking that you would be with them. Chris and Christy, Lord, we ask that you would be with this young man, 11 years of age, being challenged with circumstances in his life. And Father, we know that we can call upon you because you said, come unto you that labor and heavy laden, you will give rest. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will give this young man rest. We pray that you would intervene even now and that you would move in a special way on his behalf. And then, Father, we pray that you'll be with his mother as she stands by his side. And that whatever the challenges are and whatever the situation may be, we pray that you'll give them the ability to hold on because you are able. So, Father, on behalf of this family, we are lifting them up, asking your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the honor because you are worthy, O God. So move, O Lord, in a special way. We ask these blessings, we beg these mercies, we pray that you would move because you are God and God alone. And after all is said and done, Father, we will hear a praise report that the situation was alleviated and that a way was made out of no way because of your grace. And so we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, just for a moment, I want to open up the Word of God and encourage you as we prepare for the ordinance of humility, which is the feet washing process, where we come aside and wash each other's feet out of humility, an act of letting go of pride, putting aside all those things that would separate us from God, but then allowing us to be able to walk in the newness of God's grace and God's mercy. That's what this is about today. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, and I love the way it reads, we're talking about God's amazing love, and it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. And I want to pause right there because the question is asked, what type of love is this? I mean, this is not a normal love. This is not a love that's everyday love. This is not the love, I love you as long as you treat me right. I love you as long as you do me right. I love you as long as things are going right. When you think about the amazing love of God, you're talking about something that's transcendent, that's beyond our comprehension. A love that is so unconditional, though, no matter what you do, you can never do bad enough to turn God off. And you can never do good enough to turn God on. It is a love that is just unconditional. Even the word itself, unconditional, does not suffice because you're talking about no strings attached. And I know in our love, there is a type of I love you as long as or if the situation is, the condition is right. But I want to remind us today that this love is a love that suffereth long, a love that does not quit, a love that does not give up, a love that is relentless, a love that stalks us, a love that doesn't quit. And notice what it says, It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. He's placed it on each one of us. And notice, no matter what you have done, no matter what you've said, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you have actually said in your mind about God, he loves you with an everlasting love. And then the Bible says, therefore, the world does not know us. Why? Because it does not know him. You know, it takes something special, and that is the divine revelation of God to know God. It takes the power of God to reveal to us what God is. And without this revelation, we can never know God's love for us. And when you think about this love, it is amazing because this love has three dimensions. This love is three-dimensional. This love is three-dimensional, and you find it throughout the Bible, because when you talk about God's love, we want to compartmentalize God and make it seem like God loves us. You know, we tell our children this: God is happy when you do good, but he's not happy when you do bad. But I want you to know, God is always happy. He doesn't have mood swings like us. He doesn't go up and down and sometime in and out. I'm glad today that God's love is not conditional, and God's love is not flippant. God's love doesn't oscillate. It doesn't turn like a fan from one direction to another. But God's love is amazing because it is a love that will not quit. And notice, beloved, now we are the children of God right now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. In other words, this love has a transforming power on our lives. It has a power that will transform us. And that's why it says, now, right now, not tomorrow, not next week, right now, we are children of God, right now. And you mean to tell me I don't have to know? You don't have to perform. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be born and be in the image of God. And he loves you because of who you are. It has not been revealed yet what we shall be. Can you imagine that? This love is not even finished with us yet. When you look at your life right now, I don't know about you, sometimes I want to throw in the towel, I want to give up, and you are a work in process. God is not finished with you yet. You want to give up on yourself, but I want to declare right now, please don't throw in the towel, because God's love is transforming. God's love is a love that will not quit. That's why the Bible says it suffereth long. God's love never gives up on us. It is a love that is not going to ever stop loving us. Well, what happens? It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I love verse 3. Everyone that has this hope. Do you have hope this morning? Do you have hope this morning? Do you have hope this morning? Well, the Bible says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So just having hope today, just believing God's word today, does something for us. It has a transforming power that can do for us what nothing else can do. That's why God doesn't use hocus pocus. God doesn't use abracadabra, but it is simply the unrelentless love of God that will never stop loving you, because God's love is three-dimensional. You might say, well, how do I know that? Well, I know God's love is three-dimensional because, number one, God's love, according to the Bible, and I want to read it to you, according to God's word, first of all, God's love is redeeming. God's love is what, everybody? God's love is redeeming. You know, when you go somewhere and you redeem something, that means that you want to buy it back. I've never really gone to the pawn shop, but I know when people take things there, they take an item there. It could be, a gun, or you could take an object, jewelry. You take something to the pawn shop, and they give you certain money for it. But then when you go back, what are you doing? You're redeeming it. You're going back to claim it as your own. And I'm so glad right now that God's love has the power to redeem us. Why? Because once we were born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity, and it's only God's grace that can redeem us from our situation. I don't know about you, but I do know all of us are lost. We're born DOA, dead on arrival. And if it had not been for the grace of God and the mercy of God, we would be forever lost. But the Bible says here in Ezekiel chapter 16, I love chapter 16. It is the gospel in short. If you ever want to understand the love of God, it is there in Ezekiel 16. Now think about it. Many times people say, well, I love the God in the New Testament, But the God in the Old Testament, he's about fire and bloodshed. He's about fighting and wars. But I want you to know the same God in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. He changes not. He says, I am the same today and forever. And so reminding us God's love is, number one, redeeming. Notice what it says in Ezekiel 16, beginning with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Say to her, saith the Lord God of Judah, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, nobody pitied you when I saw you. Nobody had compassion on you. I'm so glad today God has compassion on all of us. How many of us need some compassion? I don't know about you, but I need some compassion. Some things I say, things I say I shouldn't say. I do things I shouldn't do, go places I shouldn't go. I don't know about you, but God's love is compassionate. God's love is forgiving. God's love is redeeming. Notice what it says. When I saw you, Ezekiel here in chapter 16 is giving us a picture of what it looks like when God's love was bestowed on you and me. He says, and when I passed by you and I saw you struggling in your own blood, and I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. God says, when I saw you in your situation, when I saw you in your life where you were, when I saw you struggling, going through your ups and downs, and I'm so glad God saw us, because when he saw us, the Bible says, he said, live. In other words, the life is in the blood, and when you see blood, that means you see life. So when God saw us in our blood, he was saying, in your life, you needed help. In your life, you needed deliverance. In your life, you needed hope. In your life, you needed somebody to help you. And I'm so glad that the Bible says he lifted us out of sin because of his love and his mercy and his grace. First of all, God's love is redeeming. Notice he says, I saw you, and when I passed by you. And here you find the gospel written in chapter 16, verses 6 and following. I passed by you. I saw you. You were naked. And first of all, the first thing I did, I spread my wings over you and I covered your nakedness. I don't know, when Jesus died on the cross, he covered our nakedness, covered all of our sins, covered all of our evil, covered all of our wickedness. I'm so glad today, right now, that as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, he's able to cover all of our iniquities. He's able to forgive us of all of our sins. He's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he does. He covers us with his grace. On Calvary, he was exposed so that we can be covered. And because of his love, he covered us with his grace. Because from Genesis to Revelation, God is chasing after his woman, his wife, chasing after her, trying to love on her, trying to bless her, trying to redeem her, trying to lift her. And he says, I covered you. You need to be covered today. And then verse 9, he says, then I wash you in water. When I saw you, I wash you in water, and I thoroughly wash you in your blood, and I anointed you with oil, and I clothed you and embroidered you. Number one, he says, first thing I did in my redeeming love, I died on the cross to cover your sins. But then not only did I die on the cross to cover your sins, but then I filled you and I washed you with the Holy Ghost, which means I gave you the Holy Spirit and I anointed you with oil. Not only did I give you the Holy Spirit, but then I covered you with my righteousness. I'm so glad that not only did he die on the cross, not only did he send the Holy Spirit, but then he gives me his righteousness so I can live right and do right. Amen. The Bible says because of that, and because of his grace, notice in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 15. The problem is, after I did all of this for you, after I lifted you out of sin, after I put your feet on a rock to stay, after I blessed you above and beyond, you could ask or think. What happened, he says, your fame went to your head, you thought you were all of that, and you forgot about me. It's amazing how after God blesses us, sometimes every now and then we forget about God's grace. We forget about God's goodness. We forget about God's love. We forget about God's mercy. Well, I want to tell you today, not only is God's love redeeming, but secondly, God's love is resilient. You know, how many of you, when you started this Christian walk, have never sinned? Anybody? Any takers? We all have sinned. And not only that, his blood not only covered us from our past, but his blood covers us for our future. Not only does his blood covers us for our past, but it covers us right now, in that whatever you are going through in your life right now, his blood is resilient. His blood won't stop. His blood keeps on coming after us, after us, after us, after us. I don't know, every now and then you want to tell the Holy Ghost, please get off my mind, get off my nerve, but he won't stop loving you. He will convict you. He'll bring things to your mind. He'll bring things to your heart. He'll bring things in your life, and you begin, I need to work on that. I should not have said that. I should not have acted like that. God's love is resilient in that he keeps on pursuing after you. He keeps coming after you. He keeps loving you. And not only that, is it resilient love? He said, you trusted in your own beauty and you played the harlot, talking about Israel. Walked out on God. Talked about the goodness of God and the grace of God. Going after her. That's what Hosea did for Gomer. He kept going after her. It is a picture of the symbol of the love of God. He will keep coming after you no matter what. No matter what you have done. No matter how low you have fallen. No matter where you have gone. I just want to remind you today in this little message that God loves you. His love is redeeming. His love is resilient. But then the last thing is, his love is also restoring. I'm so glad he will restore us. He will lift us. He will bless us. He will bring us back where we were. After man sinned against God, the Bible says, I'm going to put iniquity. I'm going to put enmity between you and the seed. I'm going to do something for you that cannot be done any other way. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to spill my blood. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the word of God. I'm going to place you in a church. I'm going to allow you to know me for yourself. And then I'm going to keep on coming after you. I'm going to keep on sending a word in due time. So not only is God's love redeeming, not only is God's love resilient, but God's love is restoring, because in the last part of this chapter, verse 30, he says, nevertheless. Oh, I'm so glad today, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, that God is a God that has nevertheless at the end of the sentence. No matter where you have gone, no matter what you have done, nevertheless. I'm glad about that with my wife. She has a nevertheless love for me. Amen. Oh, y'all didn't say it like y'all mean it. She has a nevertheless love for me. In other words, she loves me in spite of me. My love for her is not because of the things she does, but because of the love God has given me. And that's what makes a love so thick and so strong, a love that is restoring. I know sometimes I mess up. I know sometimes I step out of line. But when you have somebody loving you like that, love begets love. Love reaches after you. Love doesn't quit. Love brings you back to where you first belong. And that's why he says, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant. That's what God says today. I'm glad today, right now, God is remembering his covenant. Every time we come to the communion service, God is remembering his covenant. Every time God extends love to you and me, every time the doors of the church are open, even today, I'm extending to you my covenant. And listen to what he says. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant. And then I love this promise right here. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed. Love will shame you. When you know God loves you no matter what, when you do something outside the will of God, it hurts to know I've broken the heart of God. I have crucified him afresh. In other words, this love that restores us is a love that allows us to see him for who he is. It is a love that allows us to know that he loves us. Then you will remember It'll start coining your mind, your ways, and you'll be ashamed when you receive your older and younger sisters, for I will give them to my daughters, but not because of my covenant with you. In other words, he says, what I'm going to do for you is what Israel did. I'm going to reestablish my covenant. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love on you, and I will establish my covenant with you, saith the Lord, in spite of you walking out on me, in spite of you dogging me, in spite of living in sin, even after you said you wouldn't live in sin. And like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You keep on doing the same things over and over and again. But God says, nevertheless, I'm going to love you anyhow. I'm going to spread my love on you. I'm going to impose my goodness on you and my grace. And it is the grace of God that leads us into repentance. It's the mercy of God that caused a sinner to turn around. It is God's love, and there's nothing else we can do about it. That you may remember, and he says, be ashamed. And then he says, don't even open your mouth about it. Like the prodigal son who had gone into a far country. He had lived a life of sin. He lived the way he wanted to live, but then he came to himself. And he said, I know what I'm going to say when I get back home. I'm going to practice my speech. Daddy, I'm sorry. I know I messed up. I know I've lived outside your will. But even in this text, he says, I don't even want you to open your mouth. Don't speak on it, because it's not what you're telling me that's going to cause me to love you anymore. I'm going to love you no matter what, but if my love will not allow you to stay where you are. My love will agitate you out of your comfort zone. My love will move you out of your situation of comfort. It will cause you to say something is not right in my life, and it will cause you to run after me. And notice, when you come after me, I'm going to tell you, shh, hold your peace. You're already forgiven. You don't have to say anything else. Give me your hand. Give me your heart. And trust me. Trust me. And then he says this, as I close, that you may remember and be ashamed. Never open your mouth anymore because of your shame. When I provide you an atonement for all you have done, saith the Lord. God says, I'm going to provide you an atonement for all that you have done. It's very simple today. When we reach out to God in faith, he receives it. And no matter what you have done today, nobody can say, well, I'm not worthy to come to the Lord's Supper. I'm not worthy to partake. Let me tell you something. What makes you worthy is God's grace. What makes you worthy is God's goodness. What makes you worthy is that God said, I will provide an atonement for you. And today, we want to receive this atonement by God's grace. Today, we want to say, yes, Lord. And that's all you're saying. When you come to the Lord's Supper, you're saying, I receive it. It's a gift. It's nothing you have to do to earn it. It's nothing you can do to procure it. It's nothing you can do to buy it. It's simply a gift from God. And that's why we're here today. We're here today to say, God, I receive it. You're telling me that your love is redeeming? Yes, it is. I redeem you. I bought you with a price, the blood of Jesus. And not only is it redeeming, but it's resilient. I will never stop loving on you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest, he says. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Are you going through something today? Are you experiencing some trauma and drama in your life? Well, you've come to the right place. Jesus says, take my yoke. It is easy. In other words, today we want God's transforming grace. He says, when I provide for you an atonement for you, for all you've done, saith the Lord. I love that right there. That you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your shame. See, the devil will use shame to cause you to run from God. The devil will cause you to run when nobody's chasing you. But today we come because he says, I'll provide an atonement. Don't you want to receive that atonement today? Amen. Communion service is that time when we come together and say, yes, Lord, I receive your atonement. Let us pray. Father, today what manner of love is this? That you bestowed upon us that we're so unworthy of. Lord, we can't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We'll never do anything to earn it. But because of your amazing grace, because of your consistent, persistent love, we can even come today in your presence. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have now to wash each other's feet, an act of humility. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to experience your faith and your grace and your power. Lord, without you, we are nothing. And so today we come and we thank you for the invitation to come. For each believer that's here today and even those who are online, Father, we pray that there'll be nothing that would hinder us from coming to you right now. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, even as we prepare and transition into the act of humility. We pray, God, that you would direct our steps. We pray that you'll lead us and guide us. And then when you shall come, that you'll save us in your kingdom. We thank you again for your transforming love. We thank you for a love that is redeeming. We thank you for a love that is resilient. And we thank you for a love that is restoring. Now, Father, keep us, bless us as we transition into the next phase of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to transition briefly. And again, I want to remind you that for those of you who are interested in staying for the act of humility, in the fellowship hall is where the women will go. And then also the men will go into the conference room. And then right by the conference room for couples who would like to do the communion together, husband and wives, there is right in the nursery. Right after we finish that, we will reassemble and come back in and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to transition and we're going to ask that when you come back in that you will seat every other seat so that the deacons, as they move through the rows, they'll be able to serve you. So we're going to transition now as we stand. We're going to transition. I'm going to ask that you will stand with us as we prepare to leave. And again, we want to invite those of you. The women will go into the fellowship hall where we eat. Then there's a conference room for the men. And then we want to return and move expeditiously so that we can come back and receive the Lord's Supper. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. Amen. God bless you.